Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all these ecstatic activities, and thus he fulfilled his own desires. Purport. In the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, the Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to taste the feelings Radharani felt upon seeing Krishna. Krishna himself could not understand the ecstatic feelings of Radharani towards him, and therefore he desired to accept the role of Radharani, and thereby taste these feelings. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the feelings of Radharani. In other words, he is a combination of Radha and Krishna. It is therefore said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. By worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone, one can relish the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna together. One should therefore try to understand Radha Krishna not directly, but through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and through his devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoi Piyakuti Kabe Hama Bujhaba Se Yugala Piriti. When shall I develop a mentality of service towards Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and the other devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and thus become eligible to understand the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna? Okay. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tvam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so begging the blessings of all the devotees, especially our seniors, so we can speak something that will be pleasing to the Guru Parampara. Okay. In separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all these ecstatic activities, and thus he fulfilled his own desires. So it is a fact that it is actually impossible for someone to understand, or let me put it another way. It is impossible for us to understand fully why someone else loves us. Okay. In any relationship, there are different positions. So when we are in relationship to another person, we're observing the relationship from the inside out. But they are on the outside looking in to us. So it is a fact that no one can fully understand why another person loves them, because you are receiving that affection as the object, not that you are the giver looking at yourself and looking at how that relationship is taking place. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with all experience, bar one. Bar one. That which is lacking in the experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exactly the happiness that his devotees experience upon loving and serving him. So God himself has this deficit. There is something missing in his experience. And the realization of that becomes a catalyst for a particular pastime or a set of pastimes. And those pastimes are known as Gauranga Leela. So from the realization that Radharani is tasting something in loving him that he himself is not tasting, he has the determination to come. We say that there is the avatar, right? So Krishna descends as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we can test that. We can test that. Could it be that according to the teachings of our Gaudiya philosophy, could it be that there is something superior to the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Think about this question very carefully. There are many ways that we define the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many theological definitions of God. But in one sense, our entire teachings transcend these definitions. Because most of these definitions are limited to the conceptions of awe and reverence. Whereas our definitions within our teachings, they deliberately break through the barriers of that kind of definition. And they push us into a realm where we have to ultimately forget about the position of the individual and really stand in the relationship based purely on the qualities of the individual. And when one shifts that paradigm, when we move beyond positions of reverence and respect, or rather simply understanding on that basis, simply acting in relationship on that basis, and when we come to the conception of rasa, then we are dealing very much with the personality. Prabhupada goes to great lengths when he's asked, who is Krishna? He doesn't say God. He goes to great lengths repeatedly to give this mantra. Krishna is whom? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a mouthful. Right? And considering that he's preaching in the Western world, which with people who are already familiar with the concept of God, then the question we have to ask ourselves is, why does he go to such great lengths to emphasize Supreme Personality of Godhead? There are a couple of reasons. One, in emphasizing the supremacy, one doesn't become overfamiliar. But when emphasizing the personality, then one comes into the realm of relationship. Yeah? Where one is now not just understanding the position, but one is entering into a relationship within which one is meant to give themselves. What happens in relationship? When one gives themselves in relationship, they become transformed. If you actually give yourself properly in relationship, it is a guarantee that you become transformed. Why? Because relationship, giving oneself in relationship, is the only activity within which one forgets themselves. It is the only activity in which one lets go of one's self-centered, egotistical self-absorption. And all the insecurities
which are inspired by being completely limited to the false ego platform. The more that one is trapped within a self-centered life, the more one becomes stuck. If you carefully examine the difference between the person you are now and the person you were when you entered into devotional service, the person you were when you began this Krishna consciousness movement, you'll see something very amazing. You will see that the extent to which you've transformed is intimately connected to the extent that you've given yourself wholeheartedly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, this is very exciting. What this means is that the more that you give yourself, the more that you're going to change. And at some point, when we've given ourselves completely, then we will become aware of a different identity. At some point in our spiritual life, when we've given ourselves completely, we will come to understand that I'm not the person that I think I am. At some point in giving ourselves completely, we will realize a different personality, and it will be that personality that is eternally absorbed in the loving service of the Lord on the spiritual platform. And every day and every moment that we give ourselves completely to the service of the Lord, you are transforming. You are changing very, very intimately, even in ways that you may not perceive until a test or obstacle comes, and you will even be shocked at how you are responding differently because you are developing more and more your spiritual nature. So this is very esoteric, and this is at the same time extremely exciting. What is the modus operandi of a devotee? Devotee means one who has given themselves completely in the service of their Lord. And in giving themselves completely, you have become a different person. So whenever you feel stuck in spiritual life, whenever you feel concerned that you have the same obstacles, the same anattas, the same challenges, day after day, month after month, year after year, you have to question, how much have you given yourself over to the service of the Lord? Because what you cannot overcome in giving yourself to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He will overcome it on your behalf. Now, again, we say that the Lord descends, but we disagree. Why? What does He ascend to do? Krishna has understood that Radharani is tasting something that he cannot taste. The nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beyond all considerations of position, is that you're dealing with someone who is intensely loving, intensely selfless, intensely giving. Could it be possible that this same Supreme Personality of Godhead has fundamentally arranged the very nature of reality such that from the beginning and eternally, He has given you a position which is eternally superior to His own? Think about this point carefully. What is the superior position? Is the superior position the position of the master, or is the superior position the position of the servant? Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gonitai Guru Parampara. Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Could it be possible that the person that we worship is so intensely loving, is so intensely selfless, is so intensely desirous of your own superior experience that he has eternally given you a position which is superior to his own position. Think about this point very carefully. So Krishna, we say he's descended. I say he's ascended. I say he's ascended. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who has ascended to the platform of a servant in order to taste that which does not, that which the master doesn't taste. In order to taste what it is like to relish the service to the master. And in doing so, he is intensely in his own loving desire to bring us back to our senses, intensely come to demonstrate that it's not that you have to be God. It's not that you have to try to be envious of me. You envy me, but I love you anyway. But I've come in the position of a servant just to prove to you that I already gave you the superior position. To prove to you that I already gave you the superior position. That there is nothing superior to your eternal situation as a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that position is so relishable that even I'm missing out. So I'm coming to join you in order to relish your superior experience. Could it be possible that this is actually the very nature of our situation? Think about it. Next point. In this purport, it is explaining about, it says, by worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone, one can relish the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna together. Very interesting. By worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how do we worship him? We have the Sankirtan movement. What is the Sankirtan movement? What is this worship? What are we trying to achieve? We're trying to achieve love of Krishna. Okay? We want to have affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that affection always requires a medium. Right? So just like you have this ether, you have space, and sound requires the medium of ether through which to travel. In a similar way, affection also requires a medium. So the question becomes, what is that medium through which the affection that is within your heart can be carried and can be received by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That medium, ladies and gentlemen, is seva. And specifically, that medium is the Sankirtan Yajna of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Something very extraordinary happens with that particular medium. And this is why Prabhupada urges us not to engage in service, but to engage in pure devotional service. Why? Not because it's some kind of lack of enjoyment. It's not actually about renunciation. It is an esoteric fact that the quality of the medium through which you are offering affection to Krishna, it is also the same medium through which you're able to receive and taste Krishna's affection as it's being reciprocated by your service. So when your medium is very pure, then you can really experience here, well, it says, these ecstatic activities. Your devotional service is always ecstatic. But you may not be receptive or sensitive to the ecstasy. You understand? Just like you have a disease, so you eat something. Because you're in a disease condition, that thing that you're eating is constitutionally sweet. But your experience of what it is, that's something very, very different. So what we're trying to do in this Krishna consciousness movement is repair our receptivity. You understand? Because right now, we're not tasting the true nature of devotional service. Our ability to relish, that is impaired. So what we're trying to do in this devotional service is to repair that ability to relish. And how do you do it? You fix the medium. You repair the medium. So you engage in service, but you engage in service very purely, very sincerely. As that medium is repaired, as the medium is fixed, then as you're giving and as you're experiencing, the quality and the nature of what you're experiencing in your devotional service, it starts to transform. And therefore, in engaging in service, in engaging the archanam, in engaging in the kirtanam, the shravanam, you start to experience the full-blown and original nature of devotional service. You start to experience the ecstatic activities, which is the constitutional flavor and the original nature of devotional service. So it's all about experience. It is all about experience. You need to ask yourself, we need to ask ourselves, how much ecstasy can you handle? Because the extent to which you serve sincerely, that is a signal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, letting you know, okay, I got it. There is more that you can relish. You're ready to relish more. And again, how does it happen? It happens by giving ourselves completely in service. So savor is the medium. Is that point clear? Savor is the medium that transcends me. It is a medium that helps each and every one of us to transcend the limitations of our conditioned false ego. And to the extent that it's not transcended, we're in trouble. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. It is very clear that in service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will come to the platform where we can understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, which is the most esoteric fact of the Shastra. And because it is the most esoteric fact of the Shastra, it is also the most extremely dangerous aspect of the same Shastra. Why? Because if one isn't sufficiently qualified in coming in contact with those pastimes, one will invoke the very lust that is keeping them in this material world. So how are we going to approach such an understanding without causing ourselves to be incarcerated and entangled even more in the material world that we're already struggling in and trying to ultimately get out of? I had an experience a few years ago. Well, it wasn't even that long ago. So it was interesting. It was a work experience. So I was managing a team of individuals. So it was interesting. And this, I'll show you how this relates, so don't think I'm going off topic. So the individuals we were managing, they had one role in the organization. So at a certain point, the funding for their role had run out. So the head of the organization, being a compassionate person, very good quality person, she decided that the fund, she said to them, the funding has run out for your role. But what I'm going to do is there is funding for this new position, for these new positions. We're going to transfer you from your department into another department where you can carry on working. That way, we will not have to just let you go. You will not have to go and look for another job. We're going to change your roles. So they agreed. What they didn't do is they didn't change the job description. So they went from one role where they were not doing much teaching. They went into another role, and this other role required them to do more teaching. Unfortunately, in the material world, generally there's no concept of natures. And these people did not have a Brahminical nature at all. So they struggled in their new role. Now, at that point, they had a choice. What they could have done is being honest and say, actually, to be honest, I struggle in this role, etc., etc. They didn't do that. Because they were in lower modes, what they thought they would do is try and pull a fast one. They got together and they considered that now we're doing this new role. Right, just bear in mind, they'd had their role switched because the CEO was a compassionate lady. She was kind. She could have just told them, the funding's run out, sorry, we're going to have to let you go. But she was compassionate. She transferred the role. They became greedy. They thought, what we'll do is we'll now say that we want the job description redone. And then when the job description is redone, then we'll point out to our manager. I was managing them, by the way. We'll point out to our manager that, you know, look, we're doing a lot more teaching, we're doing a lot more this, we're doing a lot more that. So we're doing a lot more work than we did previously, right? Now, because we're doing more work than we did previously, you could finish the sentence for me. What are they going to demand? More money, okay? They were going to demand more money. I remember having a meeting with them. I could see what was coming. And I said to them, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? Because I knew these people are crazy. They're not thinking straight. I mean, the CEO of the company, I mean, she's a Kshatriya. And I mean a real Kshatriya. She will kill you. She will kill you first. Everyone in the company, except myself, was scared of her. Right? I knew she was a Kshatriya because I could just see the qualities. But she was a very good Kshatriya. So I knew there's nothing to be scared of. This person is so dharmic. But everyone else was scared. Right? So I knew what was coming. Are you sure you want to do this? But they did not make a proper consideration. Right? So they kept pushing. Okay, fair enough. Right? So what happened was, the CEO was alerted to the situation. She thought about it, she agreed. You're absolutely right. You're doing a very different role. You know, you're completely correct. We must redo your job description. So what did they do? They redid the job description. Okay, this new role that's different to your previous role, you had this this responsibility, that responsibility, that responsibility, done. So they did the job description, and then they called everyone in to a meeting. Okay, so thank you, and we completely agree with you. You're absolutely right. Yeah? You have had a difference in job, in role, and you are doing many different things. So what we've done is we've created a new job description. Oh, and by the way, now each and every one of you have to reapply for your job. Right? Now, what they didn't know is that the CEO was so tired of their tamasic behavior that when they rewrote the job description, they had them in mind, but in the negative sense. The job description was rewritten in such a way that those people would struggle to meet the criteria to get the job. So they had just written themselves out of a job. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this with you is that if you examine the psychology behind it, you can understand something very extraordinary. And this relates to this pastime, or these points that we're sharing. So what happens when people come to make a decision? When you make a decision, You actually consider a certain number of factors. Okay? You bear in mind a certain number of points. And then having considered those points, you then come to a conclusion which causes you to act. Now, as the consciousness goes into a lower mode, right? As you go down from goodness down to passion or down to ignorance, the amount of factors that you consider actually also shrinks. In other words, as your consciousness goes down into a lower mode, the field of Sambandha Gyan, the number of things that you consider when you're making a decision, actually shrinks. So therefore, people in lower modes will reach negative or ill thought out conclusions because the actual lower mode restricts the consciousness. It restricts the intelligence, and therefore it doesn't allow them to consider other essential points which people in the higher mode would have considered, which would have led them to lead or to make a greater conclusion. Does that make some sense? Yeah? So it's like, if you're in the lower mode, you can't see everything that's important. So you make a decision based upon two factors, but you don't see that there's another 10 that you should also consider before making your decision. Do you get the point? So what these people did, because they had the lower mode, they couldn't see everything that was going on. They couldn't bear in mind. No, don't you know the sees Kshatriya? Or don't you know that she's going to be able to see through what you're doing? Are you sure this is a good idea? Don't you know that you've been underperforming? So if you underperform and now you start throwing a tantrum demanding more money, do you think that they're going to actually say yes? Or do you think they're going to try and get rid of you? They didn't consider the factors because they were blind. They could not see things properly due to anatta. Anatta. Arta means wanted, and arta means that which is unwanted. I had an experience recently, even with one devotee, it was so interesting. He had one perception, and he was very adamant about it. But I was looking and I could see, oh, this person's in the mode of passion. So he actually, there was a whole range of things he couldn't see, and the ego was so big, he couldn't see that he couldn't see. So we could see, oh, that's why he doesn't actually understand what's really going on. I get it now. It is very interesting. Now, this relates to devotional service, the Sankirtan movement, and understanding the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. In lower modes, just like if you have some, you know, if you wear glasses and there's some kind of contamination on the lenses, everywhere you see, the contamination is blocking your vision. You don't see properly what's there. In a similar way, by being contaminated with passion and with ignorance, our anattas will be projected onto the loving affairs of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. By being contaminated with the lower modes, we will inevitably see those pastimes through the sphere of our own desires for self-centered gratification. Srila Prabhupada has made a statement. He has stated that the engagement, the wholehearted engagement in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is none different from entering into the Rasa Leela. Such an extraordinary statement. How are such things reconciled? They are reconciled in the following way. When we as devotees engage wholeheartedly, intensely, passionately, not mode of passion, not rajagun, but passionately, when we give ourselves fully in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission, every aspect of that engagement is constructed. If we engage in it sincerely, it is constructed. Not coincidentally, but consciously, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, to work through each and every last anatta that exists within the heart of the practicing devotee. He is constitutionally inspiring and designing every facet of your engagement in the Sankirtan mission to work through every single anatta in the heart to take you out the other side of that same Sankirtan movement in a pristine devotional state, such that when you hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, you will be able to perceive and relish them for what they are, which is selfless, loving exchanges of the highest order. There are no accidents in this movement. The Lord is factually involved with each and every exchange that the sincere devotee is having in pursuance of the spreading of this Nam Sankirtan mission. It is an intimate and very, very intense loving exchange. And that loving exchange is meant specifically for the purpose of bringing about dependence. Our real issue in our movement is that we do not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can love someone like us. I hope that is very, very clear. Right? Because there is a symptom. We can say whatever we want in classes. We can say whatever we want in the preaching. We can say whatever we want to newcomers. But I'm telling you, our real issue is we do not believe that someone of the caliber of Sri Krishna, someone of the caliber of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and those of the caliber which is being spoken about here, the followers, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and other devotees, we do not accept something deep within our consciousness does not accept that such personalities can truly love someone like us. And it is due to that lack of acceptance that we hold back from following through with their instructions. And their instructions have two categories. There is the letter of the law and there is the spirit of the law. To the extent that we don't believe that they love us, to that extent we don't believe that what they are saying is for our benefit. We do not believe that what they are saying is going to give us the greatest result, because we don't believe that anyone can be so selfless. Because our experience in the material world is an experience which is defined by exploitation. And we have been transplanted into a spiritual paradigm, into a land of devotional service that is defined by selfless loving and selfless giving. And that is completely alien to the experience we've had in this material world over billions of lifetimes. That, ladies and gentlemen, is our ultimate dilemma. And it's a big problem. So every aspect of devotional service is simply meant to convince us that it doesn't matter what we are or what we are not. That there does exist individuals who are eternally, eternally well-wishers, competent well-wishers, who truly understand what we are and truly have our best interests at heart. And to the extent that we accept that, to that extent we as devotees have faith. To the extent that we have faith, to the extent that we have faith, we surrender. Surrender means literally to follow in on the plan of someone who actually cares for you and who's given you instructions which are purely for your best interest. So this spiritual, the material paradigm is a paradigm defined by exploitation. The real spiritual paradigm is a paradigm that is defined by love. So we're caught trying to make a transition from one paradigm, which is very painful, to another paradigm, which is very blissful. But it takes a lot of convincing to move an individual from one state of existence to another state of existence. And this is the mission of the Lord and His empowered representatives. So how are we going to make a change? There are a number of ways. One of the means by which we can make a change is by looking to see how the Lord cares for His devotees. And there are many examples. Right? Why are there many examples? Here it speaks about following and knowing the Lord through His devotees. There is such variety of examples, isn't it? In the Shastra, you meet so many different types of devotees. Why? It is another dispensation of the Lord's heartbreaking love for His living entities. He gives examples of how He cares for so many different types of devotees just because He knows that for each and every one of us, based upon our conditioning, there is some example, there will be examples in the Shastra that we can relate to. That we will find examples in the Shastra that we can relate to. Oh, Krishna even looked after this devotee. I can relate to that devotee. You know, I can see something of myself in that devotee. Oh, and if he's able to be loving and kind and deliver that type of devotee, maybe there's hope for who? There's hope for? That's the point. Think about it. You'll sometimes look at this movement and you'll think, how the hell did such a variety of people all come to the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada? It is because the founder Acharya is empowered by the Lord to have that quality also where his character and personality is so multidimensional, is so multifaceted that different types of individuals can look at him and think, yeah, that's my Prabhupada. Right? I can relate to Prabhupada. I like this personality. Right? So to your kind of rough, tough, you know, so let's give an example. It's like you have the Pandavas, okay? Okay. So imagine someone in this temple, you know, their background, they're kind of like, you know, you have your kind of like, you know, street tough, East End kind of, you know, guy with tattoos, you know, kind of big, you know, the guy comes in the room like, you know, what's going on? You know, the kind of rough and tough guy, okay? So he comes and he hears about the Pandavas. Out of the five Pandavas, who does he relate to? Bhima, right? So for him, Bhima, that's my man, right? Okay. For the Brahmanas, they're kind of very exalted, upright, everything is done perfectly, pukka, you know, it's all about the Shastra, everything is done according to Dharma. For them, when they look at the five Pandavas, who's the man? Yudhisthira. Okay. For the ladies, look at the five Pandavas, who's the man? Arjuna. You understand the point? That myriad of personalities is there so that no one can escape from finding someone. Someone they can relate to. Krishna delivered them. They're Krishna's devotee. Oh, maybe he will also help me. And then you will study the interactions and the exchanges and you will see how these people are being delivered. And it will give you some impetus of faith. You will make some step, and you will see when you make that step, on the condition that the step is made sincerely, your receptivity to Krishna's reciprocation will increase. But let's be very clear, He's always reciprocating. There is never a time that Krishna did not love us. And there is never, therefore, a time that Krishna does not reciprocate with the service of the devotee. What we're trying to do is to be receptive, to be sensitive to be able to pick up, wow, Krishna's reciprocating. I had an experience. I'll share with you. So, it's so interesting. If you read, one of the most ecstatic things is to see how Krishna's trying to give you some guidance, right? He's trying to tell you something. And if you don't pick up the message, but there's even some small sincerity, he will give you the message again and again and again. And if you don't pick it up, sometimes he'll help you by giving it to you in a bit of a kind of knockout blow. And I think when I do that, usually in class, I was like, yeah, I can relate to that. I remember, I'm still recovering. You know, so my manager said something to me the other day, and I'd heard the same thing again and again and again. So my manager told me, I'm going to the shops for lunch, come with me. So I just walked him to the shop and walked back, and we were in the lift coming back to the office. And so when we're in the lift in the office, and like my manager's very dominant, and he just likes to just be very blunt. So we're in the lift. And at one point he was talking about something, because it's the time where you have to get feedback. And he was just giving me an unofficial kind of information. And then he just said to me something, and it was just like, bang, you know? But I could understand what he was saying. It was like, I thought, hold on, I've heard that before. I've heard that before from different people. And I could understand, it was Krishna. Do this! I want you to be like this. Now! He was practically insisting. And it all feels really interesting. If you're able to sincerely follow, and if you understand what we're saying, that this person, these personalities, they are well-wishers, then what you can understand is what they're telling you. If you do what they're actually encouraging and inspiring to do. Of course, the caveat here is if you think Krishna's trying to tell you something, always make sure it's confirmed by Guru Sadhu Shastra. That way it doesn't become a mental concoction. And that way you don't get tricked by Maya. We always play on the side of caution. Is that clear? But that said, if you're able to understand what Krishna wants and you're able to follow it, my God, you hit the jackpot. Because he will arrange things for you. He will inspire you and direct you to do things which are going to be so mind-blowingly auspicious that your entire existence is going to change for the better if you're able to do what he tells you. Because the point that we were making earlier is that this person is a loving individual who actually wants the best for you. So the choice, the decision is down to us. How much ecstasy, how much auspiciousness can you actually handle? Because if you just open yourself up, even just a little bit more to the mercy of the Lord, that mercy is so extraordinarily potent and intense that the Supreme Personality of God Himself, He will electrocute you. Huh? Death by electrocution. Huh? Death by ecstasy. When the pure devotees leave this world, they are in ecstatic, rapturous remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, when they're leaving, they have already become that. They have already prepared themselves for that same paradigm of ecstatic, loving exchanges. And every word, every syllable of the Shastra, every movement, even every conspiracy or controversy that you encounter in your spiritual life is another form of loving exchange. So we encourage you to look on the world, look on your devotional life with new eyes. Look on your devotional life with a different paradigm. even through the tests and the obstacles, try to consider and try to define your spiritual life. That means your entire life. Define it in terms of loving exchanges between you and the Lord. That if there's a difficulty, there's a challenge, this is being arranged by Krishna to give me something very, very auspicious. Right? Even if there are difficulties, what does that mean? Oh, he wants me to become even stronger. Therefore, he's sending opposition. Okay, now it's a chance to become even deeper, even stronger. He wants me to develop integrity. Okay, so he's sending people who completely disagree with me, and I'm going to stand firm. No, I'm sticking to this. Try to define your spiritual life in terms of love. Because whether you know it or not, that's actually how Krishna sees it. Prabhupada states that Krishna consciousness means to see the world in the way that the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself sees it. And if you do that, everything becomes an impetus for ecstatic, deeper, selfless, loving exchanges. They become exciting challenges as opposed to mundane disappointments and frustration. And if you don't practice that mentality and that mindset now, you'll find it much harder to do when you get hit with obstacles and tests. It's your own choice. But Krishna cares for us. See, he tries to warn us ahead of time. But it is down to us whether we heed the warning. Does that make some sense? Okay, so we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jayanta Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Okay, do we have time for questions or, yeah? Okay, Hare Krishna.